Christian Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
The trees of the field clapped their hands. The world's going to be transformed where the lion's laying down with the lamb. You're going to be able to go and play with them. Okay, you're going to play on the whole of a serpent that once was poisonous, but now is convenient for us in our entertainment. But you know what's funny? The Bible says they're subject to vanity. Did you know that? It's in Romans 8. It says that the whole creation groans, being subject to vanity. You know what vanity is? Nothing. Emptiness. That's why you have these seagulls in the parking lots of various stores, because they think it's water. Nobody can say to them, hey guys, you need to go over there. My point is this. The world's going to be hospitable. It's going to be tool to our joy. You think cartoons are funny? Wait till the squirrels start playing for you. When the birds start waking you up and start playing for you. When all of it's subjected to you. Back the way God meant it to be. We are selling our birthright sometimes for a bowl of pottage. The Bible says that they said, hallelujah, and our smoke rose up forever and ever. All this is not going to be one tear shed by the believers. Why? Because we know it was not worth the brick and mortar it was made by. The Bible says in verse 4, and the 24 elders, that's you and me if we're children of God today. 24 elders, we explained that before. They had 24 courses in the priestly work in the temple, and they would have thousands of them. They'd come in and they'd do their course. They'd go out after the next guy came in. This is what Zacharias was doing when the angel Gabriel said, you're going to have a son. His name is John. All that was when he was in his course. My point is, that was the shadow. We are the substance. We're going to get to sit right in the throne room. These are our representatives of the church. The Bible says the 24 elders fell down and the four beasts. These are the closest people to Jesus. Who's that? Us! Us! Hallelujah! We're going to be sitting right up close and personal. We're going to fall down, the Bible says. They fell down. They worshipped God that sat on the throne saying, amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, O ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, all in unison, hallelujah! And everybody said it. The place was shaken like thunder. It was so amazing. Everybody completely in sync one with another. Always right on cue. Never coming in late. Never coming in early. Never starting wrong. All completely tethered to our Lord Jesus. Totally in tune with what's going on. Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. What's amazing is, when we do our weddings, we are all here and the man's kind of looking a little bit, you know, kind of plain, ordinary. He's got a suit on, cleans up pretty good. But when the door opens and the girl's there, everybody stands, because that's taking your breath away. Not because we are beautiful in ourselves, and not even because she may be beautiful in herself. It's because of that day, she's the bride. That day, everybody knows he chose her. She is the one that everybody gives a great deal of attention to in a way that is just beyond our imagining. And so what we've done is we've put our minds around the fact that this is the bridegroom. And the bridegroom indeed, but there's a marriage here. When I told you about the 24 elders, we're the closest to him. And you know, when I stand next to my wife, it's kind of turned around in the world of humanity. We've got Jesus is the most beautiful. He's the most amazing. But in this world, I look better standing next to her. In that world, we look better standing next to Him. Every flaw is gone. There is no spot in thee, it says in the Canticles. The Bible says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Now, some people think that means she's got to work to be saved. No, the apostles asked in the book of John, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the work of God. Believe on whom the Father sent. He says, this is the work of God.
You see, what we make ourselves ready through is trusting Jesus, bringing glory to Jesus now, picking up the baton, picking up the banner, having our hearts looking heavenward, understanding He is Lord of Lords, He is King of Kings, He is the one to whom all glory is due. Standing next to Him, people are going to be like, what just happened? Because we were sinners. The angels knew. You know, they knew. Just like the demons know. Somebody said secret sin on earth is open scandal in heaven. And so they know. And they're like, what are they doing there? We made ourselves ready. How'd you do that? We trusted in Jesus. There was nothing in our hands we could bring. Only to the cross we could cling. And we went onward through the fog. By His power, by His grace, we are able to stand. The Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And therefore, we are given this ability to stand in this grace. Not only so, but the Bible talks about with glory and tribulations. You see, what we're looking at here is we're looking at the marriage of the Lamb. It's come, and His wife has made herself ready. Suddenly, we're looking at the wife. And the Bible says, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. You say, well, Jesus is my righteousness. Yes, He is. However, there are works that you and I can do that He gives us credit for, and He gives us responsibility for. The Bible talks about it in Matthew 25. It says that the man gave talents to some of his servants. And he says, and so when he came back to receive his own with usury or with some kind of a dividend, he gave them something they could do. And it says, and so he that had received the five talents came and he brought other five, saying unto the Lord, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And when we see this unfolding, there's three talents and one talent. One was hidden and all that. But my point is this. The Bible calls this something God would see fit to say, well done over. What have you done with your talents? What have you done with the things God's given you? You have strength. You have power. You have ability to get up and go do work. You have the ability to go and make an impact on your world. What missionaries have you supported? What prayers have you prayed? What witnessing have you done? What soul have you brought to Jesus? All of this is your talent. Now, in a talent in the biblical sense, today it would be worth $270 today. That may be a little dated, but it's like they put it in pounds in the dictionaries and in the lexicons I looked up. It's about $270. This guy had five talents he was going to invest. About $270. That's pretty serious. That's a good amount of money. That's a day's pay for some, right? That's about a whole day's pay. And what I'm saying to you is God's giving you some days down here. And you can go out and do something for Jesus. He says, I did something for you. I brought you back five more. You see, you and I can do some things. And the righteousness of the saints is what they are going to be clothed in, the fine linen. Somebody has said it this way, we kind of weave together our own little garment. We're making our own. And you know what? What's interesting is the bride is all of us. It's not an individual. It's the whole body of Christ, right? So you're going to get to be clothed in something more than you're worthy of, right? Because you're going to be the bride and you're going to be in the same clothing and it's going to be beautiful. But do your very best to contribute. Do your very best to get it well done, because the one who had one talent did nothing showed that they weren't really part of the bride. They weren't even part of it. He says, you should have done what you could with what you had, but you didn't do anything. Verse 9 says, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, I have sheep that are not of this fold. And he says, they're going to come. And he says, there are people from Abraham, Isaac, Judah, they're all come. And they're going to sit down with the bride. John was the best man. Jesus was the groom, and it was going to be a great wedding day. This is that. This is what he's talking about. He's saying here, there's going to be people coming from all quarters of the earth. And the Bible says they're going to be called. Now, who are these people that are called? Well, there's two kinds of groups here. One is all the spirit of just men made perfect. This is the marriage supper. That means it's the church. The church is the bride. Everybody who died before Jesus brought forth the church are the spirit of just men made perfect, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. These people are going to be called because they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be brought into the kingdom and they're going to be there. David's going to help rule co-regency with Jesus in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be accessible personally. And in this marriage supper, what's going to happen is the bride is going to be there. And then you're going to have all these tribulation saints, some who did not die. And when Jesus comes, what's going to happen is He's going to call them out of the nooks and the crannies and the caves and the dens where they've been hiding out.
They've been scorched by the sun. They've been thirsty because the water's been taken out. The trees have been burned up. They've been sustained only by his mercy. Many have been beheaded. All of these are going to be called. Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper. Do you see that we're right here? Do you see that it's almost going to happen? We're right now looking at the world folding in on itself, that it's starting to tear everybody apart. They're tearing families apart. They're tearing children away from their parents. They're trying to get kids to go to school at age two. They're trying to get you to give it up. And in this generation, we'll do so because it's all they know. Mom wants to work. She doesn't want to be at home. Dad doesn't want to be bothered. So let's just send them off. And what's happening is that now 13% less people are sending their kids even in because they're realizing the world's hostile to them. This is a world that has gone mad. It has lost its mind, and it will get worse and worse and worse. What do you think was going to happen if it gets this bad now? Do you really think a revival is going to happen across the entire world? Nobody's praying. Nobody's attending church more readily. In fact, church is out of the picture when you hear people talking about, oh, God's on our side, but they don't do church. Oh, I don't go to church anymore. I gave up on church. Well, that's Jesus you're giving up on because that was his plan. You just said, I don't want Jesus' plan. I want my plan. Jesus is just all right with me, and you're just a doobie brother Christian. That's just all you are. A doobie brother Christian. And I'm telling you, this is something that people need to realize. You start with humility, and God gives you clarity, and then you go on in power and dignity. That's what happens in the Christian life. Humility says, I'm going to take what he says. He's Lord. And then what happens is, as you grow up a little bit, you get your clarity. When you get your clarity, you're shoulder to shoulder with him, and you pick up his plan, and you go with his plan. That's the Christian walk. And the Bible says in verse 9, it says, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's the church and Jesus all going to be there as the celebrants, and then everybody's going to draw near. And it says, these are the true sayings of God. He said, I fell down in verse 10, and I fell down at his feet to worship, and he says, see, thou do it not. He says, I am thy servant, thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Now understand, he says, I have the testimony of Jesus. He says, worship God. He says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want you to know what he's saying here is Jesus is the cornerstone. What he's saying here is Jesus is the one from whom we shoot our lines. If you're going to build a building, you get a cornerstone back in the day, shoot all your lines from that. Jesus is the one. We shoot our lines from him for our lives. First Peter tells us, talks about us being living stones and all of that. He's the cornerstone. He's the one that the builders rejected. And what I'm telling you is that we are at a point where right now we need to be shooting our lines, not just for walking, desire ye the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow thereby. He's the cornerstone. The Word, go read that passage. It's awesome. It talks about first the Word, and it's the sincere milk. And then you're shooting your lines from Him to know how to live. Okay? That's how you know how to live. You look at Jesus and watch what He does and do that. Okay? Then you've got to realize that this other part, right now, we're at the end of the book of Revelation. We're also shooting our lines for our hope. You and I are living in a day that looks pretty hopeless on many levels. There's a lot of, well, who do you go to? What do you think? Who do you believe? What is this? I'm telling you, Jesus is the one you believe. He's the only one you can trust. There is no human being that is not made of clay. Jesus is King. He's coming again. He told us it would be like this. And when He comes, we're going to be out of here. There will be no more crying. There will be no more tears. There will be no more parting. No sorrow. And no depression. And no discouragement. No hopelessness. And we will understand everything He did, and we will say hallelujah for what He did. Because He was righteous and good and right and holy. And the Bible says the spirit of Jesus is, or the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Because once you see who He is, and once you see what He's done, you will begin to see what He's going to do. He, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. He's coming again. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.